It's time to know your lane.
So far, you're talking about board games and model airplanes.
All right.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
here?
What have you turned into?
Where's Jeff O'Neill?
You're going to walk in here in, like, plaid pants with suspenders one day.
And a mustache that's curled up on the end. Like,
this is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. It's a positive Monday here in Toronto. The Argos are off to the Grey Cup. TFC playing for the first time in about 3 months tomorrow night in Columbus. Raptors are on fire. They've won 4 in a row. Maple Leafs on fire. They've won 6 in a row, including just a beatdown of the Habs. Like, that third period was men against boys. First two periods, competitive. You could argue the Habs were the better team. Third period, wasn't even close. Wasn't even close. And the Leafs have won 6 in a row. They're back in action tonight. The worst team in the league in town. Has to be a guarantee win. Has to be. You've got to beat Arizona at home.
You do.
You have to. They're brutal. I don't care what's happened the past two games. They
just
stole
even
points.
For the future, to keep the momentum rolling. You talked about at the beginning of the season, teams that start like 10-0. They're making the playoffs.
They win tonight. They're closing in on Tampa. Like, that seemed crazy a week ago when Tampa
was blowing the doors off of everybody.
They absolutely destroyed California.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa went 3-for-3 and dummied all three teams. The Leafs are 4 points back of them. The Leafs win tonight. They're 2 back at Tampa. Now, Tampa would have a game or two in hand, I believe. And
they'd have, 2 games.
I mean, that says something when you put yourself in that position where you can start thinking about the big boy in the Eastern Conference, and clearly that's the Tampa Bay Lightning right now. Ray will join us here in a moment. We haven't touched on Bobby Mack's piece yet up on TSN.ca, and Bob McKenzie wrote what I found to be quite intriguing.
See, you took it. I thought he splashed cold water on it.
Oh, I thought he sprayed gasoline on
really?
It.
Really? Give me your take on that.
He wrote a piece about Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Okay, go ahead.
Just because Arizona's in town, and talking heads like myself, like you guys, like Leaf fans, hockey fans in general, water cooler material, you look at a dumpster fire of an organization.
And you pick at the carcass.
And you pick at the carcass. And you say, wow, that's a really talented player having a down year on a bad team. I'll bet you he wants out. And you start playing the game of making trades. In this particular case, it's Oliver Ekman-Larsson with Arizona. Bobby Mack doesn't touch rumors.
No, it's not like Joe from the Bridge is the one guy that said to him, don't be so sure about that not being something that could happen.
And that's what Bob wrote today. He mentioned that he was on Leafs Lunch earlier in the week, last week, was posed the question, the idea of Ekman-Larsson being on the table or the Leafs pursuing him, and he said, no, not happening, I don't see it. And someone reached out to him on Saturday and said, slow your roll, Bob, in terms of thinking that this is an impossibility. Now, he finished the piece by saying, by all accounts, what he's found out is they have not talked about it.
Right.
It's not going to happen tonight. It's not like Ekman-Larsson's going to take warm-ups with Arizona and then throw on a Leaf jersey and start the game with the Leafs. But the fact that he mentioned that someone of substance reached out to him and said, this is not as crazy as you think it is, Oliver Ekman-Larsson for William Nylander plus, I think has to lead to a conversation in terms of whether or not it makes sense, because Bob is throwing it out there as if it could potentially take place. So you have to unwrap this.
Yeah.
Because Ekman-Larsson is a very good defenseman that I'm not sure a lot of Leaf fans really know a lot about because of the market he's been playing in his whole career. He has not had a good start to the year.
Mm-hmm.
By all accounts, he and Rick Tocchet not really on the same page.
Well, he's been a part of that's the reason that he would intrigue me. It's like, can you jumpstart him when a competitive team? Because you know what he's been around his whole career, basically? Losing.
Right.
He's turning into a loser, because you know what? When you play on that many losing teams, you just develop losing habits and you become a loser.
My initial reaction was
Kadri, so is guys who are still in the Bozak, the guys who are still left over in the regime.
And that was my reaction. Saved. My reaction was originally to your thinking, how poisoned is this guy? But then you can use a local example of players that can play through the poison, that can overcome the poison. And that's a perfect example. 3 years ago, tonight was Salute Gate at the ACC.
Oh, yeah?
One of the most embarrassing moments of the past decade in Toronto sports. And Kadri was on the ice for that. Morgan Riley was on the ice. Jake Gardner, JVR,
yeah,
Bozak. Those guys survived it, and they flourished since better players showed up and they became a part of a more positive environment.
Yeah, but who's to say that can happen in Arizona? Who the hell knows what's happening there?
I'm not saying it's going to happen in Arizona.
They might doing the Edmonton Oilers rebuild on a rebuild.
What I'm saying is Ekman-Larsson, if you give him a fresh start, yeah, I'm not convinced he's poisoned for the rest of his career because of what's happened in Arizona.
He would be definitely something I would be looking at. It's just, what do you give up?
Well, McKenzie said that the rumor out there, and this was not Bob stating the rumor, he said that people are talking about it, and his source was the one who brought this up, was William Nylander.
It's a big, big ask.
It's a big ask.
But
that's a big, big ask.
Oliver Ekman-Larsson is a star defenseman on a crappy team. I think I've said that several times. Like, Jimmy Playfair was a good friend of mine and coached him in Arizona, and he said, he would tell me, he's like, Jamie, this guy is unreal. Now, if you take a look at actually his point production, and I think he scored 20 goals a couple times, like he's a very good player. And are the problem is would you give up a very good player to get him, and he's an unrestricted free agent in a year? You'd have to have some sort of sign and trade or trade and sign put together.
Well, he can't sign an extension until this July, but there would have to be an understanding.
There'd have to be an understanding, because you're not giving up like William Nylander, that's a big piece. If you're pushing down on the lineup a little bit.
But you have to be realistic in terms of what it's going to cost.
If
Ekman-Larsson is a legit elite defenseman, it's going to cost you an elite young player. Plus, mm-hmm, it's probably going to cost them more than Nylander. Mm-hmm. And I know that's difficult for Leaf fans to wrap their heads around. But if you believe Ekman-Larsson walks in and is immediately their number one defenseman, or right there with Morgan Riley, it's going to cost you something. But in terms of his contract in the future, I think what you've got to remember is you're asking yourself, let's say Nylander goes the other way, how much you're going to pay for Ekman-Larsson compared to what you would have had to pay also for William Nylander.
Financially. Yeah.
Now, you might have to pay more for the upcoming UFA, mm-hmm, that you just traded for, and you proved to him that you value significantly. But it's not as if in 2 years Nylander's still making $1 million.
No, he's going to be at six plus.
He's going to make a lot of money, too. It's a matter of allocating that money.
Correct.
So we got Ray on the line. Ray, let's ask you. If you were Lou and they offered Ekman-Larsson for Nylander, would you do it?
Just straight up?
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you're Toronto, you would do that?
Because I think Ekman-Larsson's a top pair guy. I don't think he's a number one guy. In the true sense, but maybe the number one guy these days is a little bit different of a style. I mean, he's not as good as Carlson, but he would be in Carlson's image. You know, that would be the way you would see, or I would see his game. He's a little bit risky. He's a fabulous skater, really moves the puck well, but he's not, I don't know, he's not a Drew Doughty type defender. You know, like he's not, there's no real physicalness to his game, but maybe you don't need to have that anymore. But I would make that, because I think it's way harder to find that player, the defenseman, than it is to find an elite level skill wise winger. If I'm Arizona, that's a silly trade to make. Like their defense is already the worst defense in the league, so you're going to make it worse.
Yeah, but aren't they doing the rebuild on the rebuild? Like, what the hell? Like, they're so bad.
Well, yeah, I guess, but like, I don't know. I'm like, maybe they're hoping that they finish. Well, not hoping, but maybe they're hoping they get Rasmus Dahlin, and like everybody else in the league, and they can rebuild with that part, and maybe a Nylander, and you know, like a Clayton Keller, and they got a whole bunch of young forwards. They don't have any, to my knowledge, any young D that are right on the cusp of being impact players. When I saw that kicked around this morning, you know, when Bob was talking about it, my first thought was, I think I'm okay with that from Toronto's side, and I really do like Nylander, but I wouldn't be thinking that's a great deal for to trade a defenseman, a top defenseman, a top pair defenseman for a top winger. That to me doesn't equate. It doesn't make sense.
That's why I think there would be more to it. It'd be more complicated than that.
Yeah, but there's got to be some other moving pieces, but those are the main pieces. And Brian, you believe more that you think there's smoke and fire here. I think Bobby Mack was trying to put it to the end, like that there was nothing to it. But I don't know. I don't know if Toronto would want to do that right now. They may have to see what else is out there. Like John Carlson's unrestricted in a year. Like they're, you know, do they believe that this is the year and this is the year they add the piece, or is it? You know, do they think that maybe next year is their year and you add a piece in the offseason? Like, I think that's where I'm not convinced that that comes fruition this year.
Ray, like, do you think if they get that number one defenseman, it's an automatic that either Marner and Nylander are gonna be going the other way? Or are they just going to try to package up? Like, aren't they at the point where it's kind of like the L.A. Kings were for a few years in Chicago, where their first-round draft picks were just flying out the window because they didn't really care about them that much. They're just their team is designed to win right now.
Yeah, the only difference I would say to that is that, as you guys were talking about a little earlier, about allocating the cap dollars, is eventually you're going to have to pay, you know, Nylander, you got to pay now. You know, you got to pay him at the end of the year, whatever you're going to pay him. You know, you're going to run into a cap squeeze that the other teams didn't have to. You know, Chicago won, and then they pitched three guys overboard. And then they won 2 years later, and they pitched two more guys overboard. And now you've got a team that's kind of rebuilding around two $10 million contracts. I think they would most likely have to it would be more than a first rounder. The problem is, what are the other parts that go into the deal? And, I mean, that's just a speculation and a guess. But if I'm trading a John Carlson or an Oliver Ekman Larson, it's not a first rounder and a maybe prospect. You know, they've got to hit something way more solid than that, in my opinion, to move those players. Now, Colorado went and moved Duchene, and they got a whole bunch of maybes. And, you know, maybe Samuel Girard's going to be really good, but he's 19, and, you know, you have to see. And maybe Hamanev, who just broke his arm, is going to be really good, but you don't know. And maybe those picks are going to turn out okay, but they're at the bottom of the barrel. I guess Arizona's there too, but I would think with that asset, those both of them being defensemen, you have to hit something pretty solid coming back the other way.
Well, yeah. This is a situation where the Maple Leafs take issue with the media and the media talking about these kind of deals, because I get the impression, just based on what Babcock said a week ago about Nylander when he was slumping, Nylander pays attention. Nylander's aware of what's being said. I don't think it's a coincidence that his season took off post-trade deadline a year ago. He was spectacular down the stretch, very good into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Kind of had a bit of a bumpy road leading up to the trade deadline. And he was the guy, because we were so infatuated with Matthews and Marner, not that people weren't excited about Nylander, but he was clearly the third guy this time last year. He was the guy when people played hypothetical trade or hypothetical GM. Well, I'll throw Nylander in. Do you think you could get this, get that, or the other?
Right.
And here we go again with a situation where people are connecting him to Arizona. And I hope he's not affected by it, but it wouldn't shock me.
Well, and he's a very good player, too. Like, that's the thing that, you know,
imagine making that deal. Like, for 10 years, it was the opposite way. Get me out of Toronto, send me somewhere else. Yeah. Now it's, wait a minute, this team's on the verge of winning, and you're potentially going to send me to the biggest tire fire in the National Hockey League?
Well, Brian, I signed with the Rangers as a free agent, signed a 4-year deal. In October of that year, so I signed in July. In October, we're on a flight, I'm reading a paper, and it said the Rangers are, Calgary was going to make a deal. And they were looking to add a center, and they were looking at Joe Nieuwendijk or possibly, you know, with less cost would be me. And I was like unbelievably rattled. I just signed. And I was an older guy, not a young guy like Nylander. Totally rattled. And so Neil Smith comes back on the plane and he sits down and tells me, look, you know, I don't know where these rumors start and we're not trading you. We're really happy. And so he just waited 5 months to trade me. But I was totally scrambled. Like, I'm like, what the hell? I'd like, you don't even feel like you, I felt totally unsettled with where I was playing. So it would be unlikely that rumors don't bother a player, like that wouldn't bother Nylander. I mean, he looks cool. He looks, you know, like he's calm. But on the last game we did there, the Jersey game, the overtime game, in the first period, he missed a chance or two. And he came back to the bench, and he smashed his stick on the glass, like right beside me. I never see him do that. And I was thinking, he's rattled, man. Like, there's a lot of stuff rattling around in his brain. And I said to him, you're going to score tonight. And he's like, what? I go, you're going to score tonight. He'd already had four or five chances or three or four chances. And he kind of went, ah. And my thought was, oh, my God, this kid is just, like, rattled. And you go 11 games without scoring, you get rattled. Now there's a story that comes out, whether right or wrong, it doesn't even matter. Somebody's going to ask him about it tomorrow. And you're going to get rattled. You can only say, I don't care. It's, you know, it's the business, whatever lines the guys give so many times. But eventually, it's unsettling for sure. And it bugs your play. It does. And Noodles, I don't know if you guys had your name kicked around at all, but you're like, it just rattles you.
I sat warm up anyway. And stretched at the red line, and Marty Brodeur said to me, I heard you're coming back on the plane with us. I was like, what the hell? When Marty Brodeur says that?
Well, he took you out of the game, didn't he? That's good strategy. Yeah. By him.
That's why he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it doesn't. When people talk about you and it's just rumors and stuff, it doesn't.
Yeah, I was the opposite. It didn't rattle me. I was like, just get me the hell out of here. I don't want to be a part of this team if they're like shopping me or don't want me.
But you never know if that's just a rumor.
I was pretty sure it wasn't a rumor.
This is just talk. And now what's going to happen is his dad may call him and be like, what's going on? Have you heard? Or the agent's got to dig into this. Like, this is something that has to be from his camp for his peace of mind, even talked about either with management, just to be like, what is the thought process here?
But Noodles, it doesn't matter what anybody says anymore, because they can say, look, we're not actively shopping you. We haven't even had a conversation with Arizona. And then 2 days later, some other team calls in whose season's going sideways, and they say, hey, we got this D, whoever, defenseman X, and we want to talk about Nylander. And then all of a sudden you're in play again. Like, it doesn't even matter. You can, the best advice is to ignore it all, but I think it's impossible to do.
Yeah.
With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here courtesy of Valiant Financial. Well, that team they played on Saturday night, there's got to be a lot of phone calls being directed towards the 514 area code, because they are in trouble. And Mark Bergevin, he looks like he's flustered. I mean, just based on the hockey night shots, every goal the Leafs scored, they showed him, and he was freaking out in a different manner. But if you're on that team, and now names are starting to circulate in terms of rumors on that team, I got to think in Montreal, they're wondering, is it maybe in my best interest if I'm a player to get out of here? Because if it goes south, that is the last market you want to be in.
The last market you want to be in is one in the American League.
Well, so, true. But
my point being, you can hope that you're on the way out, that you could be one of the guys moving, and then as your play suffers, pretty soon they can't trade you either. Like, it's been said many times, and I know I said it in Atlanta, guys, there's nobody lining up to take us. We're not very good. Nobody's saying, hey, let's add a not very good player to our team. And now that Montreal is clearly stumbling and clearly rattled, any player that Bergevin wants to talk about, what kind of offers do you think he's getting back? Brutal.
Anchors. He's asking for a life raft, and they're handing him anchors.
I would say, never being a general manager before, the one thing that I would want to do right now is identify what the hell are we supposed to be? Like, are we, what kind of team do we think that we are? Because when I watch the Canadiens, I don't get it. They're not a defending team. Their defense is brutal. They're not an offensive team. Their forwards don't score. Like, what are they? Focus in on what you want to be, and then maybe you can start to address the needs of whatever that image is. Because for the last few years, it's been goaltending and defense and checking and The offense has just not been there. Well, now the offense isn't there. I don't know how they could have thought losing Markov and Beaulieu and Emelin and trading Sergachev that that defense was going to be anywhere near adequate this year, because it's not. And then Price doesn't play well and then gets hurt. They're sunk. I mean, that looks like a season that's going right down the drain. And I don't know. You're right. There must be a million calls going into Bergevin's office, but I can't imagine anything makes very clear sense right now for them.
Well, and I can't imagine he feels like the most secure guy on earth either. I mean, how could you? If this continues at this pace, there's no way he can survive. He's the most wanted guy in Montreal to begin with, and if this continues,
I think if Price comes back, he's got a 5 to 10 game segment. If they stink the joint out, it's gonna what's gonna hit the fan.
But he'll need a plunger. If they fire him, say they decide Montreal to go ahead. Okay, we're gonna fire Bergevin. Well, whoever they hire is gonna be an interim GM till the end of the year, and so you're really kind of hamstrung by whatever kind of moves that guy's gonna be allowed to make. Like, how many general managers, quality NHL general managers, are sitting around right now that they could hire and say, okay, this is who we want to hire? First of all, they've got to hire, it seems like, they've got to hire a Francophone. So now your prospect pool goes down immensely.
Well, you're looking at Julien Brisebois.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's anyone else. Certainly Julien, who is highly regarded. He's been with Yzerman for 6 years, and they've built, you know, a pretty damn good franchise in Tampa Bay. You would think he would be at the top of the heap, but Tampa's not going to let him go right now. No. I mean, I don't know what his contract clauses are. Wouldn't they say to him, yeah, great, talk to him at the end of the year, but not now?
Yeah. Ray, to finish up, do you think it's offside to ask a neighbor for a plunger or your friends?
Well, I think two things have to happen. I think it's okay. However, you need to bring the gift back, a new one. You cannot return that plunger.
Like just with shrapnel on it, put it in a plastic bag?
You can't give that the double-footed plunge and then hand it back to the guy.
What about with a deep cleanse? Like you take a couple of those, what are those little towels? With the
like wipes?
Wipes, yeah, a couple wet wipes.
You're going to do that? I wouldn't do that. I'd throw it in the garbage and spend $8.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what do they cost? Like $12? Go buy another one.
Can't you buy them at the dollar store?
Oh, dude.
You cannot re-gift a plunger.
No, you can't. You can't ask for one either, right? We're living in a society here. You can't ask people. Like, this guy sent us a text, Noodles and I, at like 12:40 this afternoon, asking if we could bring in our plunger.
No, if you had a spare one.
But then you followed it up with, just clean the one you've got because we both have solos, and fire it in the trunk and bring it in. Like, you can't do that. You can't do that.
No, it can't be done. No. I'm now rethinking the whole procedure. Just leave the bowl full, go buy one, come back, do the thing. Throw that one out and buy another one still. Who the hell wants a used one sitting around anyway? That and the brush. And it collects the extra water down there. You're it's fabulous.
It's where you really realize we're not that far, like, disconnected from the animals.
Yeah.
Like, just evolution in general. When you've got the plunger and the brush rolling, you're
right there.
Who do we think we are? Like, who do we really think we are? We think we're so special as humans. We're not.
Yeah, aren't we something? Look at us. Hang on. Where's that scrubber?
All right, buddy. Enjoy the games tonight, and we'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
For Toilet Seat Tuesday.
Yes.
This is sweet. I like it.
Perfect. Maybe I get the toilet seat for even asking.
I think you might have to wear it tomorrow.
I've got one for tomorrow. It's bugged me for a couple of years, and I've got one for tomorrow.
All right, buddy. We look forward to it.
Later.
Here's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial for fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment. From any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. Surprisingly, we've got a poll up on Twitter at Overdrive1050, and it is split right down the middle.
Really?
50-50 in terms of it being offside to ask someone for a plunger
maybe
or being acceptable.
Maybe we're overthinking it here.
Maybe we are
Our producer came in and said, Jeff, I don't think it's offside. I'm going to retweet it to try to jack up the votes on this. Is he trying to kiss ass?
I think he's just trying to kiss your ass a little bit. That's I think.
Well, let's see if he brings one in for you tomorrow.
Well, no, some other guy's dropping one off.
Let's hope the mess is taken care of by tomorrow.
Somebody said hot water with soap in it, put it down the toilet, gone. No plunger needed. Any other remedies? Let the Hayes know. Text him.
Yeah, send me a text.
Or at him at Hayes TSN.
Okay. Marcellus Wiley in about 15 minutes. Where did the Bills go next? They have turned a 5-2 start.
Why do you keep smiling when you say it? Like, I don't know why. You have the biggest smile on your face when you talk about the Bills.
I do, because they're just so predictably
Dude, you know
awful.
Who else has taken a massive dump that was completely unexpected after destroying the Cowboys early on?
The Chiefs?
Them and the Broncos.
Oh, yeah, the
what
Broncos.
What the hell are the Broncos doing?
They fired their offensive coordinator today, as if that's the problem.
They are not having the time of their life.
Speaking of which, Sergio Dipp made an appearance
back
yesterday.
He was quite good.
I thought he handled sharp. It very well.
Do we have his audio?
He was good.
Why would we? Why would we?
Just mailing it
just
in here.
They're drinking again back there.
Yeah, just the plungers of producing.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get into Sergio Dipp, Marcellus Wiley coming up later in the hour. Leafs back in action tonight. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, Marcellus Wiley will join us in about 10 minutes. His Buffalo Bills were in L.A., his hometown, and the Chargers got after Jay Peterman. Peterman threw 5 picks on 14 throws. And now Sean McDermott, who immediately has turned into a whipping boy, 5-2 start. Rookie head coach. People are like, this guy could win coach of the year. What a turnaround. And their defense was performing well. Tyrod Taylor was playing well. Shady McCoy was doing his thing. Feeling good in Western New York. And then 3 just nuclear meltdowns in a row. And everyone hates on this guy, and he doesn't know what he's supposed to do with his quarterback position. It's a disaster. And I'm not laughing.
You are smiling the whole time.
You're laughing because you called it. You said, don't get too jacked up about this, because these are the Bills, and this is, you know what's going to happen. And it happened.
You did call it. I will give you 100% credit. Because
you were like, this will be the most Buffalo Bill thing if they just blow up right now, and that's what they're doing.
That's what they do. And guess what also happened? The Patriots...
Dummied
the Raiders. And the Patriots are probably going to another Super Bowl. And it feels like the Eagles probably will meet them there too. They're 9-1, and Jerry Jones doesn't know what to do with himself anymore because he's got injuries.
He's more worried about trying to take Goodell down.
Well, he better be worried about his team because they are spiraling out of the playoff picture.
Or Pierre LeBrun.
Mm-hmm.
Pierre's had his fun, though. Yeah. Like, they've been a playoff team the past couple of years.
Do you think it would be a lot different if Elliott would have accepted the suspension early on?
Maybe.
Who knows?
Now you can't go back hindsight, right? But it's all
retrospective analysis.
There you go.
It is, but they'd have Smith at left tackle when he was suspended. They'd have Sean Lee healthy when he was suspended.
Right.
Problem is now Zeke is gone, Smith is gone, Lee is gone.
And the longer you go in the season, guys get nicked up.
Yes.
Just to give you an idea of the longevity of Tom Brady, if they do meet Philly for the Super Bowl, I was at the last Super Bowl they played Philly with Donovan McNabb and Tom Brady, the quarterback in Jacksonville. I was at that Super Bowl.
That was 2003, I want to say. Like, Terrell Owens was on that team.
It might have been later than that. I think it was my first year of retirement. I don't know if it was 2003 or not. Because I would have had to been...
No, it was...
There was a lockout. It might have been the lockout
It might have been the lockout year, but it was...
Because I wouldn't have been able to go.
It was in that run of their first 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah. But Brady's the quarterback, and McNabb and Terrell Owens were playing for the Eagles at that time.
Yeah.
And Brady's still in the league.
And... Totally expecting him to bring them back to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Fully expect it to happen.
It's crazy, man.
You know, someone's got to shock the world and beat them. And I know people look at Pittsburgh. People were looking at Kansas City. They just lose. They lost to the Giants yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, Kansas City looks like they're done.
Well, it's kind of like they're mirror images, aren't they, the NHL, where there's the five or six real deals, and then the rest is just a bunch of mediocrity?
That's the truth.
And a five or six feeders. Really quality teams, and the rest
and,
is just...
And a couple bottom feeders.
And a couple of teams like the Browns, the Coyotes.
I was waiting for you to bring
tell
up
you
the
what.
Niners, the Giants.
In the power rankings, I believe the Coyotes, now you know the dumpsters are? The Buffalo Sabres. They are garbage.
They're so bad that I don't even pay attention to them.
And right now, Jack Eichel has been pumped down to the third line.
I saw that this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're so bad. Generally, again, the Bills we talk about because of the geographical connection.
Right.
There's a lot
right.
of Bills fans here. There aren't that many Sabres fans that I've come across, but people are aware of them because it's an hour and a half down the QEW. A lot of people go to the games. Buffalo is kind of our American city.
Yeah.
It's our neighbor. I don't even hear anybody paying attention to the Sabres because they're that bad. They're already out of it. They're already done, wouldn't you say? I mean, how are they going to dig themselves out of this hole?
No, you're in dead last in the league right now at this particular point of the season. There's people like Carolina or Philly that could maybe jump up and get in, but you're not going all over all the... You're not jumping up all through those teams.
No.
Not possible. I not happening.
Well,
no way.
Because also, it's not like this team has been decimated with injuries. They're there. Like that's the difference.
They're just
like,
bad. They're flat out bad. Phil Housley must be just, I don't know.
Well, you go for, that's the thing, like.
These guys always, they're dreaming of being a head coach, but it's just, well, I would think long and hard about it if I was like a top end assistant coach on a quality team like Housley was, or Bobby Bugner was out in San Jose, or Rick Tockett in Philadelphia. I'll take the good salary and the assistant job on a good team until the right situation popped up. I'm not going to no garbage team.
But that
you get associated with it.
But that being said, Buffalo on paper looked a lot better this summer. For me, anyways. Like, Eichel's a good young player. He's a point-of-game guy last year after his injury. He's a good player. They've got some young pieces there. My biggest question mark was the goalie, Robin Leonard. And Hayes, I'm going to go back to your comment. You can't win in this league with bad goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
You can get by with average goaltending.
If you've got elite talent.
If you've got a team in front of you. But are now near the bottom, one common theme. They haven't gotten goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. That's Edmonton. That's Florida. Louis was hurt. Buffalo hasn't been good enough. Arizona hasn't been good enough. Montreal hasn't been good enough. Philadelphia's been inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Boston, Rask mm-hmm. has been inconsistent.
Yep.
Those are the teams. One common theme. Haven't gotten stops.
Yep.
And look at the teams near the top. Tampa, your buddy Vasilevsky.
Money.
Been money. St. Louis, Jake Allen's been great. Freddie Anderson's been great.
Johnny Quick.
Hellebuck in Winnipeg. They've all been good.
Game changers, man. You get the stops.
Exactly.
That gets you through a lot of dark nights. Marcellus Wiley will join us. What do the Bills do next? Do they go back to Tyrod Taylor? Is it a lock? Are we looking at Eagles-Patriots again in the Super Bowl? That and more with Marcellus next. Jim Popp, the GM of the Argos, will join us around 6:30. They're off to the Grey Cup, taking on the Calgary Stampeders in Ottawa this upcoming weekend on TSN and right here on TSN 1050. What a weekend it was. What a weekend. LeVar Ball trolling.
A lot of stuff going on.
LeVar Ball trolled President Trump hard enough to the point that Trump actually named him on Twitter. Someone pointed that out. Someone sent me a note earlier. He's like, think about that. This is some guy we had never heard of a year ago. Just a regular American, 300 million people down there. I didn't know who he was.
No.
And now the President of the United States is personally attacking him on Twitter. What has happened in 2017?
A lot of things.
What world are we living in? Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Marcellus Wiley. Who you got, LeVar Ball or Trump?
Ooh, in a war of words?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with LeVar Ball, man. I'm going to pick the underdog on this one. Not as much experience publicly talking trash. But he's been raising those three boys into some studs, and I think a lot of trash talk has happened in that household, so I'll go with the underdog.
What was the reaction in L.A. over the weekend? A lot of people were focused on that clip of Lonzo walking away from that scrum and how his post-game attitude or his post-game response was, this is the NBA, nothing really happens anyway, and I didn't want to get teched up, so I just left my teammates basically in the dust. I mean, it was kind of a weird look. What was the reaction?
Yeah, it's crazy. A lot of people wanted him to get into that fake fight. You know, in the NBA, nobody's really going to do anything. A lot of hold me back, a lot of pushing and shoving, but nothing really going down. And you know what? I like the fact that a rookie in this moment realizes this is about nothing. So why should I get involved with nothing? I understand it's not the best look when you're talking about your teammates and having their back, but it's not a real engagement. It's not a real fight. It's not something really going down here. So I kind of like it. Some part of me says respect to the rookie. Who knows? This is all showmanship. This is all games. And he's not going to play those games, so respect to him.
All right, so we've got to get to the real question. Our host, Brian Hayes, is I don't think he's taking solace in the Buffalo Bills' struggles, but just explain to us what the hell's going on in Buffalo.
Oh, my God. How much time we got? I mean, that's insane. The level. I mean, you're talking about going into a locker room, telling those guys that, hey, we're going to put someone in that we know is not the better option, is not necessarily the best thing for our present playoff run, but we're going to look to the future. And there are guys in there that say, hey, I may not be a Buffalo Bill in the future. Let's win these games right now. And they went out there audacious, just full of cockiness and saying, hey, whoever we put out there in this system, they do the right things, they'll succeed. And they put Perriman out there as a rookie. I've not seen a worse performance, rookie or not, from a quarterback in that short stint ever. And the numbers say that this only happened four times in NFL history. But I went to that game, and I'm sitting there, and it's the first quarter, and then it's the second quarter, and there are five interceptions thrown. The guy looks like he didn't know which color to throw it at. And it was just sad to see. But the Buffalo Bills have done this before. I was there in 98, 99. We had Rob Johnson, and they were out there trying to justify the money to Rob Johnson and not playing Doug Flutie in that playoff game the last time the Bills were in the playoffs. Music City Miracle. They did the same thing to us. They told us Doug Flutie was our quarterback. We had won 10 games with him. We get to the playoffs. They make the switcheroo, just like they did here, and it cost us. It's just that simple. So the Bills have history with this situation, unfortunately. But how laughable is that moment when you put a guy in and he throws five picks before the half is over? That's insane.
Well, what's laughable is the guy to my right thinks that Bills should go back to Peterman again. What do you think about that?
You know, I mean, they may double down on it because, you know, you got to still sell yourself as a leader, as an evaluator of NFL talent. So maybe you have to go there. Look, it can't get worse. There's no way he can get worse than that. I mean, I can't see the guy going out there playing a full game and throwing 10 picks. So you know what? You made the decision. You sold it to the guys. They bought into it for a half. Maybe you got to buy into it again and say, you know what? Tyrod Taylor has his limits. I don't think that's real. I don't think that's the truth. But at the same time, that's what they're selling. So you might go back to him just for the fact that you want to keep sticking your chest out. Like, I'm right. I know this is going to work. And we'll see how that plays out. But let's be careful. This is how you lose a locker room, and you lose it quickly by doing stuff like this.
Well, and I would argue that they would lose it anyway. I mean, they probably lost it anyway, you know. And that's why I think you have to go back to Peterman, because you've already made yourself half a joke. You're a full-blown joke as an organization and as a rookie head coach in Sean McDermott. If after one half you say, my bad, Tyrod's our guy, let's push for the playoffs, I really believe in him. Like, I don't see how Tyrod Taylor can step in there and have the kind of mentality or mindset to get the job done. They're in Kansas City. They're a tire fire. They need a win. That's a tough stadium to play in. But if this was all about the future, and I think that's what it was, it's all about evaluating what you have in Peterman. Yeah, it was brutal. It was an unmitigated disaster. But the next step is to see how he responds to it. I think you have to give him the opportunity to try to play out of five picks and 14 throws. Because if that's all it is, then why did you make the decision to begin with?
Great point. At halftime, I think they were faced with that decision, and they were faced with those realities that, what are we going to do? Are we going to eat our words right now? Are we going to eat some crow on this? And to their credit, they actually went back to Tyrod in that second half. Will they do it with a work week under their belt with the guy having that experience and having that kind of beat down? Would you go back on your word? I like your point. I just think that you already made the wrong decision, but you sold it the right way. Now you can't sell it again. It's just the guys are just sitting there like, whatever. And like to your point, they may have already lost this locker room. Guys are already checked out, tuned out. But if you're going to go forward, the only way that they can go forward is by owning this decision, to your point, and saying, hey, we were right the first time. Stick with us. We'll be right again. If not, this will blow up in their face now or certainly in this offseason.
With Marcellus Wiley, do you believe the Cowboys can get their season back on track?
Oh, man, tough. Cowboys, you lose three of your four best players. It's going to be tough sledding. Dak Prescott last couple weeks, what, 16 points total combined? So I think we're starting to write down that Dak Prescott can't win without some of that surrounding talent. And I don't think that's really an indictment on him or a negative statement. But some people were questioning, could he win in spite of? There are some guys that can do that. Tom Brady obviously comes to mind. In spite of, he can still pull out ball games. Dak Prescott in his second year, not in that position just yet. But no Sean Lee, no Tyron Smith, no Ezekiel Elliott. That usually adds up to disaster, and I think that's what we see right now. They just can't figure it out offensively enough to be explosive to put fear in those defenses to actually score those points. So they're really undermanned right now, and they need their top-end talent to come back because this season is going to get away from them. And then Ezekiel will return, but it's going to be for a lost cause if they can't score more points in the interim.
Great stuff, Marcellus. Always appreciate you doing this. We'll do it again soon.
Let's do it, brother. Talk to you guys later.
There he is, Marcellus Wiley, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Check out the new 2018s and get rates starting at 0%. Plus, receive 5,000 Aeroplan miles with every purchase. Go to MapleToyota.com. Cowboys are at 5-5. They're not catching the Eagles. The Eagles are 9-1. They're going to run away with that division. But
how about the Jags at 7-3?
They're in it.
They have been so brutal for so long.
Shout out to Minnesota as well.
Yeah, they're 8-2.
They've won 6 in a row, and they just beat up on the Rams. Like, the Rams have been really good. I think they held the Rams to like 7 points.
Is Bridgewater back playing?
No, he's not. They're sticking with Case Keenum, but he can play. Like, but you can't switch now. Case Keenum has been the biggest surprise in the NFL. So, you know, I've got to reluctantly give credit to Minnesota. They look like they're legit. But look how, like, there's a lot of good teams in the NFC. I'm not sure how the Cowboys right this ship. I mean, Detroit's starting to win. They've won 3 in a row. Carolina's right there. Mm-hmm. Seattle's going to be right there. How are you going to pick up one of those two wildcard spots? Because you're not winning the division. They need to really get hot, really get healthy, and really quick, and I don't see it happening.
Man, it's very similar to the NHL. 5 or 6 real quality teams that are, one of them's going to end up winning everything, and the rest are just fighting for existence. They're fighting to make the playoffs.
We'll come back and discuss the likelihood of the Maple Leafs being one of those 5 or 6 teams by the end of the year. And Jim Popp, the GM of the Argos, will join us at 6:30.